You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good evening. Absolutely delighted to be joined. I guess this, we can officially say this is now the postseason. All the World Championship stuff and all is over for us. So delighted to be joined by Belfast Giants number 35, Andrew Dixon. How are you, Dicko?
Yeah, really good, really good. Just back from AAA. So seen the couple of guys who are left in Belfast here. So nice to be home. But yeah, as you said, it's the off season now. And I think everyone in the team deserves a little bit of a break.
Does it just... We're back to recording podcasts. There's still a bit of daylight outside. It's starting to heat up. It's hard to believe that it's almost a year. It's May now, but like August, guys started coming in for this season back in August for the CHL, sort of starting at the start of September. It's going by quicker than I thought it was going to. At the start of the season, you're thinking this is a bit of a long slog, and I'm sure it was a slog for you, but let's talk a wee bit about the season, Dicko. You know, you're coming in August. Let's talk about the goalie group, I suppose. You, Wiss, and Peyton Jones. Hell of a guy, unfortunately, left us in December, but you guys set up well together. Do you enjoy each other's company and stuff?
Yeah. Right from the very off, it was a good wee group. Jonesy and Wiss, very hardworking. So, I mean, you say August, but I think me and Wiss were easily on the ice start of July. And even though, you know, you're not getting paid in July and you've no obligation to be there, Kiefer, make sure you're there. So, and then obviously, Peyton comes in, and sometimes it's interesting. Obviously, I played with Besco before, and I knew Shane Owen and obviously Murph. So, you never know what you're getting with a new goalie and how they're going to gel. You know, some goalies can be, you know, quite, what's the word? They don't want to share the net, basically. So, you know, some goalies are happy enough to let you sit the bench, but Jonesy was nearly the complete opposite. He wanted you to get in and get reps, and he wanted us all to do things, and he actually sort of changed the way we do our warm-up. He came in and he added, you know, shot warm-ups and Bomber, you know, helps do that. So Jonesy's a great guy, and as you said, he left in December. It is what it is, you know. I think it worked out for both parties in the end. He got lots of games, and we had lots of success. So, you know, it was fine, and yeah, I wish him all the best still.
It leaves that little bit. I remember talking to Cons on one of the last podcasts and lining up against Jonesy, obviously, in the semi-final of the playoffs. Give them a little bit because you want to score on your old teammates.
You do, and he wants to stop his old teammates too, and yeah. he knows his teammates. And obviously, you know he's not a better guy around the gap there, but, you know, there is a little bit, if, you know, you move away from a team, you want to show them, you know, okay, you brought a guy in, basically, and you want to show them that they maybe made the wrong decision or whatever. But, you know, he's I've spoke to him since the season's over and everything like that there. So he'll be getting back to work just like the rest of us after a maturing break.
And let's look, only a couple of weeks to go. We're going to be getting that CHL draw coming up for to see who we're going to get next season. But good trips for you last year. Did you get on any of the trips?
Yeah, I went on all of them. Yeah, I made sure in the summer. I said if they didn't take me on the trip to Davos, I was going to trash the dressing room while they were away. So they took me. It was a real a bucket list. I'd done an interview for one of the Warriors or something last year, and they said if you had an ideal draw, who would you have? And I always wanted to go to that rink in Davos. It's one of those things that it's in the NHL game, and they play the Spengler Cup there every winter. And it's, you know, if you've never seen it, or you didn't get a chance to, or you're a new fan, you didn't see it, go look at it. It's all made of wood from the surrounding area, from that forest. It's also the highest village in Europe, I believe, that has an ice rink. Anyway, I genuinely found it hard to breathe in because of asthmatic. I found it hard when I was training there, but it was a fantastic rink. I remember saying to Kiefer before the game, if you can't get up to play in this rink, then there's no hope for you in hockey. So it was brilliant. Yeah, I've got a good picture of me there, so I'll get that framed eventually.
And then we bounced straight back from CHL. Actually, I know we had a couple of games still left to play, first four CHL games, straight into Challenge Cup action. In the Challenge Cup action. And over the last number of years, we've treated this competition with real respect. We want to get that number one seed. That might be a little bit more difficult for you. In years gone by, sort of maybe more dead rubbers at the end where you could get ice time, you understand, but how important it is come January, February to get that number one seed as well.
Yeah, and a big point was made that I think Kiefer done a really good job of drilling into the guys, because there's been coaches in the past who have sort of, you know, really looked down on, don't care at all. Cup game, doesn't matter, you know what I mean? And yeah, it was good. Obviously, I got some games and things got there. But, you know, it's a banner at the end of the day. You know, you can go home, you know, with a trophy. And, you know, you look at Fife, they took it very seriously because, obviously, you know, that's a real shot for them to get a little bit of a banner and a big night. And even though, you know, it didn't go their way, you know, they had a bit of a Cinderella story. And I was really, really impressed with Fife's run. And yeah, I think more teams should take it seriously. I mean, theoretically, I know we don't win it, and we have this year, but it is a hard competition to win, and we didn't have an easy route. I know we have the Scottish teams, but then we had to play Guildford, we had to play Nottingham. So, yeah, it's a good one. It's always a good night, and I suppose ever since we, you know, it's changed. It used to be, you know, a host, and now that you're the top seed, you get it at home, and it's you know, both those Challenge Cup wins at home have been fantastic, like memories for everyone.
Yeah, and then we go through the sort of the late autumn end of the winter, and it wasn't an easy process for us either, and I know we always go along the line of we're a no-excuse organisation, but we did get hammered with the long road trip where we had a lot of bodies dying injured and things just weren't going well for us on and off the ice. And just that sort of right up to even the start of December, the real turning point, probably the Manchester games, where there was a turn in the road. We could go one or two directions, and thankfully we were able to kick on and get on to better things over Christmas.
Yeah, we were really struggling at that point. And yeah, as you said, I remember I commentated one of those Manchester games, and it's hard to be, you know, diplomatic whenever it's your own teammates. But after that game, I made sure I was in the dressing room because I knew something was going to be something said. And Steve Thornton came in the room, and Steve Thornton doesn't come in the room very often. He actually said it's the first time he's been in the room in 3 years. And whenever the GM feels like he needs to come in and address it, and he said, you know, we need to have a look ourselves. We need to look at our recruiting. And then, you know, we've seen things happen. We've seen players move on and you know, good guys, but, you know, it just didn't happen. And I think, you know, Thornton all realised that if we stayed on the track we were on, we were going to end up with no silverware at the end of the year. And at that point, we were quite far back in the league and not playing well. And as you said, you know, everyone sort of rallied around that, and it was maybe a wake-up call that we need. And, you know, it's unfortunate to lose guys, but I think the guys we brought in really helped us.
And then, obviously, at the back end, one of your little team that came back, retired, unretired. He said never say never about this time last year when he retired. But the big moment, I suppose, for maybe the club, it was just after Christmas there, New Year's Day, I think, Besko came back.
Yeah, and, you know, I stayed in regular contact with him, and I kept asking him, is there you going to come back? Are you going to play? Because I knew that Austin wanted him to come back and play, and I think that's a big part of it whenever you're a dad. I know Murph talked about that as well. You know, whenever you have a son, you want them to, you know, see you play and be able to bring the money, things out there and get cool photos. And you know, I mean, if there was ever a chance that Besko was going to go back, I think we have to jump on it. You know, he's definitely the best netminder the organization's ever had, one of the best the league's ever had. It was a real strong. It just added to our netminder group. I know at that point we still had Jonesy and we had Wes and me. So, you know, he was able to come in and you know, I also have to sort of talk about Wes as well, because I thought he was fantastic. Some of those, he sort of took that little role for a while as well, and then he came in, and you know, it'd be very easy for him to throw his head up and have a huff. There's nothing like that there. And you know, obviously he knew him, and we gelled as a group, and Besko really stole the show again this year, as he does.
Interesting that you say, of course, you're such big mates with Stephen Murphy that you say best go with the best one. We did, during lockdown, we did our starting six little podcasts where we talked about the best players. At that stage, Besco had only played one season and a lot of the other guys had went for him as the best that's ever played for the club. I went with Murph over 400 games and he had won everything at that stage. Obviously, Besco's now had 2-3 seasons, won a Grand Slam, won 2 trophies, won a league. You see, exceptional, but is there differences, massive differences between them? Size, obviously, but in terms of what they bring, you're saying Besco just ever so slightly above Murph?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Besco now. I mean, he's been here, what, 3 seasons, and what's he won? How many trophies? 7? Something like that? Something.
3
so,
leagues. 3 challenges.
Yeah, 3 leagues, yeah. So, I know Murph won, what, 3 leagues and punch cups as well, or at a playoff, which is a big one. You say is there differences? You can look at the size and you know very much there's an age gap there too, where Besco's the modern goalie, plays the modern way, Murph plays our way, but there's one thing very in common, and it's their absolute calmness in the moment. You could literally have a conversation with Besco about anything, about a video game, about golf, in the middle of a game, and he'd be laughing, and linesmen, like, I was talking to Vitas, he was our code manager away with Aaron, he was talking about, I hope you bring Besco back, because you can go up and talk to him. He's never any problem, and Murph was like that as well. And you get our goalies like me, and you can't do that. Whenever I'm in a game, I'm trying to think about myself, and you get goalies like that, and they want to be left alone. They're closing their eyes in the dressing room, they're doing all that nonsense. They're both so calm in the moment, which is, it makes the game easier for them.
Let's go on to whatever it was, early March. And the Challenge Cup final, you say, against Fife. Another great memory, and I talk about it on the podcast from time to time, and you've mentioned as well, this game is about making memories and hanging banners, and we've got another one.
Yeah, and that's it, another banner. We won one. The one we won in Cardiff was great because we had a little bit of a trophy drought, and then we had the one against Guildford, and it was still great winning the trophy, and I'm not taking anything away from that, but, the rink was half empty that night, because we were both away teams, and, in Cardiff, neither team from Wales, and, whenever you can get it at home, people were scrambling for tickets. I know our ticket sales were good anyway, but that was always going to be a sellout. And then, I have family there, so they're all buzzing, and you get people who maybe haven't come in a while, and, it's a real atmosphere. And obviously the Fife fans, it was a real Cinderella for them, so they were having a great time too. And, whenever you can win it on the ice, and you can bring out your friends, and, you guys or guys in the organisation who maybe don't get to come to, every away game, get to come out and have their moment with the trophy, which is very deserved as well. So, it's just memories on home ice. I don't know if you win it at home. The game that stands out to me most in my career is whenever we won it in 2011 at home. It was fantastic. It was just the best thing ever. Or 10 or whatever year it was, but if you can win it at home, I just think it means so much more to have everyone there, your support group, and it's a big thing for everyone in the organization. So it goes back to that number one seed, how important it is.
Yeah, I'm getting goosebumps there, Diggle. It's funny how many players reference that 2011, whatever it was, Sheffield Steelers at home. I think we ended up winning 5-1. Jeff Mason scores a early blue line slap shot. It's like everything set up. We scored early, so the pressure was off in the crowd. But funny just how many of the guys, Kiefer, etc., have all gone back to that one game. Must be a real key career moment.
Yeah, because just the way we win leagues, apart from 2014, we've always had to come from behind and do it. And that, I can remember a few things about the game. I can remember being behind the net celebrating with everyone. I can remember when we scored and Peaks was like beside me, like jumping up and down like a child on the bench. I can remember Robert Dowd tried to spin a rama on a penalty shot, and Mace was like, "What? What's he doing?" and stuff like that there. But I also remember Kiefer kicked out of the zone, which is like a big play for him. But I think, we were under so much pressure, and if you look at the size of the teams then, and now we didn't have a lot of spare bodies, so I remember we fought a little bit of injury, we lost some guys that year, and obviously it was my first sort of full year as a backup, so I really enjoyed that one. But yeah, I think it was just because we hadn't won it in a while, and then to do it at home is extra special.
And then we'll go to the league where we were chasing Guildford. Everybody was waiting. We'd talked about it from September. We didn't think they had the depth to go, but they just kept winning. We kept closing the gap, and it was probably one of the most exciting league finishes for a number of years. But we managed to hunt them down. Be the hunter, not the hunted. Know what they say? And able to hunt them down and get that league trophy.
And you know, everyone talked about it, you know, Christmas time. Well, I don't think they'll hang on, you know. I don't know, like, they've never been here before. And I think the big turning moment in the league was whenever we played them in Guildford, and it was a bit of a blowout win to us. I can't actually remember the score, but I remember I was on the bench doing the iPad for, you know, nothing really. I was just watching, to be honest. But there's not much you can do with an iPad. But but I remember they kind of lost their composure that game, and their goalie charged our bench, and they were taking hacks at guys, and there was like a load of fights, and we blew them out the water. And that was a real statement win. I know that the big ones whenever we beat them at home, but you know, I know the Dundee game, we, you know, half the guys were drunk, but you know, we still had a chance to win it the night after as well. So I really think that that game in Guildford was a big turning point. And you know, fair play to them. I think they'll regroup now. They've had a taste of it, and they'll, if they can, you know, keep their core and maybe add a little bit more. You never know. If they've got that experience now, they'll be another tough team to try and topple.
And let's talk briefly about the celebrations. Obviously, there was straight after the game that the night we managed to pick the league trophy up, and then you obviously have got to travel the next day, which is less than ideal. Got yourself half an hour between the pipes, but I don't know. Were you feeling it that night?
Well, that was a rough game. It was, and you know what? I was on the bench, and I didn't know if I was going to. I think Wes didn't want to play. Wes was kind of wanting me to play, but keeper was like, "You haven't played in a while, Wes, so you're going to play." And he's like, "Dicko, we'll get you in there halfway or something out there." And I was like, "That's fine." And I watched us the first couple of, well, half game, and I was like, "Oh no!" Like, because Wes was playing really well. He was like making like big saves, and I was like, "Oh, we're in trouble." And then whenever we went in, I actually thought it was all right, but then it got away from us, and you know, there wasn't too much made about it, in fairness. It's one of those games. Everyone like sat all our key guys, and you know, I'll not fault the guys for not being in their A game that night. They're lucky half of them were on the boat, to be honest. It was one of those games, you know, just get through it, don't get hurt, because we had the playoffs coming up. So no, we'll forgive them for that one. And you know, it's not like I was not drinking the night before either, so I wasn't on top form either. So, but it's all right, you know, we'll chop up. We gave Mace a win at the end of the season there.
That's it. And this is, it was a going away present for Mace, as it turns out. But then we go on the playoffs just the following week. It's a quick turnaround, and we've talked, Adam talked about it. I think it might have been either Doug Christensen or Paul Leary, this sort of term, the collective exhale, came about. This is about 10 or 15 years, about winning the league, having a little bit of a celebration, and having to turn it around within a week. And guys have kind of like, they've took a big deep breath, and it's hard to turn it back on again. And Glasgow was not an easy quarter final.
No, it wasn't. No, and Glasgow's another team that Kiefer alluded to had went through their share of adversity. You know, what did they go like 0-23 or something stupid, something ridiculous at the start of the season? They didn't win a game. You know, fired their head coach, made some questionable recruiting decisions that, you know, backfired, and then, you know, the sponsors pulled out, and they really struggled, and then they took their ice out. So they were a team that were playing for each other. You know, one of their players ended up being the coach, so you know, they put up a real fight. And you know, those are dangerous teams. Those teams that just make it in, because they're playing for their lives the whole way through. And usually there's an upset somewhere. But this year, you know, I think all the teams you went through were the big dogs, really. I know Guildford didn't play through, but you know, it wasn't going to be an easy playoff. And as you said, that turnaround's quick, especially whenever you've had the success that we had. You know, it's easy for some guys to be, well, we've won the league, you know, feel like we've done enough. But there certainly was no foot off the gas for us. We were right back in the rink training and getting prepared for it. But you said it, Glasgow certainly didn't make it easy in that first round.
And then we go on the finals weekend, and I suppose the week leading up the weekend as well. We only see little bits and pieces during the week, and then whenever we hit the ice, or just slightly before we hit the ice, the guys were dialed in for this weekend. Once we got the nod in them, they wanted that third trophy badly.
Yeah, correct. It's the first time. I think it's one of the best things the league do is the playoff finals weekend. They make such a good atmosphere, and you know, they run it so well. I know that our playoffs can be criticised for basically being four games. You could win the three of the games and win a trophy. But it's just the way British hockey is set up at the minute. I don't know if that'll ever change in the future or whatever, but that weekend is actually fantastic. And the semi-final against, you know, we played well against Nottingham, but they had their chances too. So yeah. Once I'm always worried about that semi-final game, because nobody wants to play in that third and fourth place game, least of all me. So I was nearly more worried about that at that point. But yeah, once we got through that semi-final, it was a real relief. And you know, it doesn't get any easier from there playing, you know, Cardiff many times if they won it three or something in the last three. So they're a team who knew how to win it. And, you know, they were looking for a trophy. You know, nobody has won it in all year. So also, whenever you're the top dog, everyone's gunning for you. So the final, certainly, I knew it wasn't going to be an easy affair.
And a little bit of redemption, as you say, we obviously had Cardiff Devils. We've had them over a few playoff finals. A couple of years ago, Colin Shields hits the post apart. You know, Ben Bounds is beaten with the puck from winning it that year. Darcy Murphy obviously going out the previous year, and just different things just went against us. Last year didn't go so well for us in the final, but this year, we were up in the Giants box and 1-0 down. It's going right. It's well in the second period. You could cut the atmosphere with a knife. I don't know what it must have been. Josh Roach just turned around to everybody and just went, calm down. We've got this. Calm down. Everybody just chill out. It's going to be okay. Yeah. And within about 2 minutes, we'd scored. And he just turned around and said, told you. And from then, I think once we got that first goal past Bounds, it was foot in the gas time. And once that second and third one went in, we sort of took control of the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the danger with those sort of short playoff series is that you could literally come against a hot goaltender who, you know, makes two or three unbelievable saves. You might hit a post. You know, that could be the difference in four goals, obviously. And, you know, they can steal it. But and I thought he was. He made a couple of big saves early on. He was scrambling. He made that big glove save. Can't remember who it was on. We hit the post. You know, he fought a couple off. And then, you know, as you said, once it goes in, you know, then I thought that I think that lifted the bench and as you said, took a lot of pressure off as well. And then we went after them. And from there really only was one winner. I think around the league, talking to other guys who play for other teams, it was pretty widely accepted that we were the best team all season once we sort of got our act together. So you know, maybe, you know, we were all worried for nothing, but, you know, you just can't take it lightly.
And that moment when the final, well, when Mark Cooper probably scores the empty netter, we know it's over, but those last 30 seconds or whatever around the bench were pretty exciting. But when that final hooter goes and Besko drops a bucket and the sticks and the gloves go up, it must be pretty exciting to be so closely involved with that. We're very privileged that we're just by the side watching in. It's like a dream come true stuff. But to be the guy, just to go into that huddle, must be very special, Dicko.
It's funny because a lot of time it just feels like relief, you know. It's like, oh, thank God, finally, you know, because we've been there, been around the twist and, you know, done it all. So in that one, I was just like, thank God, it's about time, you know. I know I was on that team that sort of won in 2009, but I wasn't really on the team. So I know how long it's been since we've won it, and it's just nice to get that one in the collection. So, you know, it's so well deserved, and to finally, you know, get that monkey off the back. And another one that I felt, you know, extra special for was Kiefer, because he's wanted that one for a long time as well. So and he thoroughly deserved it this year. So yeah, for me it's just relief, just get it done, you know, and then the party begins. So but you're right, those moments when it's just the players against the glass and everyone's, you know, together are just pure ecstasy and nonsense all at the same time. And it's they really stick in your mind and they're really special. I don't think I'll be forgetting any of them anytime soon.
And then we'll leave the Giants behind for now, obviously, then post-season for yourself, post-team. A lot of guys, I don't know whether you all came back to Belfast together, or even whether some of the guys stayed in Nottingham. I don't know what the logistics of boys going off to GB, but you had a very short break and then off for some international duty yourself.
Yeah. So, I mean, the guys who play for the international teams, Great Britain and then and Ireland, myself, the GB guys literally go 2 days after. They get a quick celebration at home. Yeah, everyone did come home, and it was nice that everyone came home and went out, said goodbye to each other. You'll never see everyone together again. That'll be the last time we were all together in one place, would have been on the bus home, and that's it. And that's just the way hockey is. You'll never get the same team back again. And then basically, yeah, the GB guys fly out pretty quick the next day because they do training camp. I had a bit of a wait for my own. And yeah, it's just like a little bit of an extension of the season. And at that point, it feels different. Obviously, the Ireland setup's not quite what the Giants is. It's growing and they're developing, which is where they are. There's not really any practice or camps for it. You show up and then you do a couple of sessions there. But it was nice to get a little bit of a break, and you don't want too much of a break because you don't want to fall out of the way of you know, playing or your fitness when they got there. So it was probably just the right amount of time, and then straight off to Bratislava.
And give us a brief overview on the trip. What was it like, standard of hockey? How much game time did you get yourself? you know, what tell us all about? And, yeah. And obviously, do you get time to visit a little bit of the city itself?
Yeah, so basically, I played there. I played on the Development Cup last year, so I sort of knew sort of what the standard was, and it was really hard to gauge going in. And this year we had Argentina, who were a little bit of an unknown. We hadn't seen them before, so you never know what you're getting, and you can't see them play. So we played them first. So we got there, we trained for a couple of days, and the Ireland team this year have really tried to push some actual structure into their hockey. Before, it was really just put some lines out and see how you go, play man on man. But it was tough. We were playing Liechtenstein and Colombia last year, who were well coached. So now we're trying to do some actual D-zone coverage and breakouts and power play and PK and all that got there. So we actually had a coach from the KHL team in China, who a guy called Greg Ireland. Greg Ireland was actually Kiefer's coach twice. He coached him in Manitoba and then he traded for him. Took him to the coast as well, so he knew Kiefer very well, so I was speaking to him, and he knew Deese, who is he used to be Cardiff's equipment guy, so I was chatting to him and things got there. And you know, he's been coaching in the KHL, used to be in the Red Wings organization. That's where he would have known Kiefer from Grand Rapids. So he has come in, and he was trying to, like, you know, teach him PK and teach him D zone coverage and things like that there. And you know, I wouldn't say that we're quite there yet with it. We gave up a lot of goals just with sloppy D zone this year, but we're going the right way. And you know, the Ireland team are really trying to get together. You can't get everyone together on the ice because there's no real ice, so we have to have Zoom meetings. And you know, we watch, it'll be like Toronto or whoever, we'll watch their D zone and then they'll ask us questions and ask who should be going there and things like that there. So we're all really trying to learn actual hockey, not, you know, the skating and the shooting and things. We're actually trying to learn how to play as a hockey team, which is the hardest part, because that'd be the biggest thing about Belfast hockey is generally players from Belfast don't have any hockey IQ. They don't really know much about breakouts when they got there because they don't get coached it, unfortunately, in junior. Until I went to the Giants, I didn't know what the weak side was. If you don't know what the weak side is, it's the side with no puck. So they were talking, guys laugh at this. They were like, the weak side? I was like, what's the weak side? I thought they were talking about, like, one of the D-men was, you know, weaker than the other in terms of, like, skating or something like that there, like, no idea, like literally no idea. So I had to learn it whenever I came here. But long story short, yes, the Ireland team are trying to develop that way. It'll be a long road, and you never know. It could all come good. We didn't do as well this year as last year. The competition again was pretty tough. Argentina was our first game, and they had a couple of players from the USHL, which is basically the top junior league in America, and then a guy from the East Coast League, and those three guys really just skated rings pretty much around us, unfortunately. So we lost that game. We were in that game right until the third period as well, and then penalties and just discipline and lacking D-zone. They skated out, it was like 11-6 or something like that there. High-scoring games, most of the games. So I think I had 63 shots in that game, and a lot of them were high quality chances. So I mean, I wasn't happy that we lost, but I didn't feel like I got them too bad. In the next game, we played Colombia, tight one again. I think it was 6-4 with an empty net, so 6-5, and then, you know, we pulled the goalie. And Colombia won it last year. Maybe not just as good this year, but you know, we were right in that game again. You know, it could have went either way. A couple of plays again just cost us. And we played Portugal I played both those games. Played Portugal on the third game. Now Portugal, you know, they're very much developing. They're really struggling at that, even at that Development Cup. One team beat them 21-0 and another team beat them 12-0 or whatever. So we played Callum, the other goalie, a kid from Belfast, under 19s basically, who's a good kid. He, you know, he plays in Belfast, plays Dundonald, can't really get anywhere to play because we've no SNL team, we've no under-20s or anything out there. So he's kind of in limbo right now, where he has nowhere to play. So it's good for him to, you know, get a game against Portugal. I thought he'd done very well. He got scored on once, and it was a tip in front, you know, something out there. Not much he could do about it. I think they were maybe on the power play, actually. So it was good for him to get that, you know, that first win for him for the senior Ireland team. I think he's played for the junior team before, so... props to him. And then the last game was Liechtenstein, who won it. So we lost that one again by one goal, basically empty net, you know. So another tight game, and you know, they sort of barred us a bit as well. But, you know, those two games, you know, could have went either way. And Argentina, you know, outskated us a little bit. But Liechtenstein won the whole thing. And then that was it. You know, it was quick. There's four games. Andorra were supposed to play, but they ended up didn't. They didn't come. So we lost a team. It is a double IHF event. If you don't know, it's for teams, basically, who can't play in the World Championships. To play in the World Championships, you have to have, like, a full-time rink. You know, it can't be a knock-up rink or anything like that. There, it has to be like a bricks and mortar proper rink, and you have to run a league. So Ireland doesn't qualify for that, so they play in the Development Cup. There'll be lots of other teams around, so you'll see us play some of them in the future. But yeah, it's all self-funded for all the players. The travel is tough enough. We basically stayed up all night that night and then had train the next day, so it was pretty tiring. But, and, you know, they've done a good job and they do the best they can, and, you know, everyone tries, and they're only going to get better, I think. We had a lot more guys from Belfast come in this year. We had Adam Robinson, some Giants fans might know, did a bunch of games for us. He's a help as well. So, and some young kids from Belfast. So, all in all, it's a development cup, and I know they like having me and I like going there as well. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much all I can say about it.
And I suppose that brings us neatly to the end. You've said yourself there, it's a self-funded trip. It's not the World Championships when you're Canada, USA, etc., where you're lifted and led in hotels and food and all. You had to pay for this yourself. So you put a lovely piece of memorabilia that you have, probably quite dear to you, Besko's Grand Slam game winning stick. You put it up there for a bit of a raffle. And unbelievably, 353 people bought raffle tickets, Deco. So we have a little draw to do. We'll do that first and then we'll have a little comment. But let's see if I can do this first of all. Can't promise, but don't have Paddy here to help me. That's the wrong one. Sorry. Here we go. Let's see. No, that's not it either. Just bear with me, people here. I'll maybe be able to edit this out. Might not be. Ah, here we are. Here we are. Again, can you see that on the screen?
Yeah, click the spin,
click the spin. So everybody's name down the side here, I'll shuffle them so they're all random. So all 353 ticket names, you can see them down the side here. So if I press spin here, Deco, you can announce the winner here.
Okay.
Click the spin. Here we go.
Oh, it's tense. James Trotman.
There you go. James Trotman. We will organize. I don't know how to come back. Deco. I'll be back in a minute. stop screen. There we go. So James Trotman, we will be in touch. You can organize, or we will organize how to get that stick to you. But I suppose worth sharing a total with you, Deco. We said whenever we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, what do you think? We'll get maybe 100, 150 quid or something. £850, 69p.
That's crazy.
I spoke to you. I you may not remember because it was Gernot Malamside on the ice just after the playoff final when I was saying to you how you didn't believe us, how important you are to us and to the people of Belfast. If that doesn't tell you, because it's nothing to do with Deco Stick, I told you you could have raffled your cap and you got the same money. We love you, man.
No, it's you've no idea. It's so appreciated. So it is. I mean, whenever you put these things up, as I've said, I thought we'll cover the cost of the stick. You know what I mean? Basically, and the cost of the stick was a Nintendo Switch. He stole my Nintendo Switch in exchange for that stick. So but that just, you know, says everything about the Belfast Giants fan base and you know, people who support me to play hockey. So special to me, and it is so appreciated. So it is. You've no idea how much it means to me. So thank everyone who entered. And thank you guys for helping me out as well. It means so much.
Deco, the 2022-2023 season has been one heck of a ride, and that's it in the books. Team Ireland, Judy Dunn. So let's I'm sure we'll talk over the summer, but enjoy what little break you get, because it'll not be too long. I'm sure you'll probably be on the ice over the summer, but it'll not be too long. The bodies are starting to roll back through the drawer and that CHL training getting underway.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, well, I haven't signed it or here yet, so but I'll beg Kiefer and see what he says. But yeah, well, if you, as I said, you guys are going to be busy over the summer with all the signing announcements and everything out there, so there'll be plenty for the Giants fans to keep their eyes on. And I also think that I noticed today that the Giants got nominated for an award, European award, so it just showed you, you know, those sellout games and the show that we put on and the team that's been on the ice this year and our fan base and all, it's all been one collective. It's been absolutely amazing, so it has been a fantastic season, and I know all the boys are so appreciative and so thankful, and anyone who's not coming back loved their time at Belfast, and most of it comes down to the fan base so being so amazing to each player.
Deco, enjoy the summer.
Yes, you too. I'll see you soon.
Podcast Network.